Lord God, we thank you so much for all that you have blessed us with. We thank you, Lord, for being able to partner with these different ministries for so many years now, God. And I thank you, Lord, that even though we're not able to go to all of these different places, I'm thankful, Lord, that as we're resourcing these ministries and those that connected to them, Lord, I'm thankful that our hands still get to impact those areas even though we're not there. Lord, I pray that you would speak in our hearts and our lives. Let us know, Father, how it is that you would direct us and the resources that you have given us, Lord. Help us to see, Father, how we can take the resources that you've put in our hands and help us to know, Lord, where it is that you would have us to give those resources and to fund different ministries. God, we want to submit ourselves to you. Have your way even in our giving. God, I thank you for the opportunity to preach your word here this morning, God. And I thank you, Lord, that you are here with us now. God, I pray that the words of my mouth would be yours today. I pray, God, that you would help us all to hear your voice and to respond by faith to you, not only in our giving, but even in responding to your word, God, that our lives might be a reflection of the work of your Holy Spirit in us. Have your way even now, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, I've asked Pastor David to hang out with me a little bit here. Pastor David, how you doing?
So far, so good.
Excellent. Excellent. So this month, we have been doing a sermon series called Disciples, right? And the basic idea is that as disciples, there are certain things that we need to be doing, right? Disciples aren't just, we're not just disciples because we have made a commitment to Jesus even necessarily, but we're disciples because we follow Jesus, we're changed by Jesus, and we're on mission with Jesus. But you know what? Like, we're not born knowing how to live as disciples. It's something that we have to be taught. It's something that we have to be trained on. And so we've been talking this month on how we can be taught to be disciples, how we can live out this great commission in our lives, not just to see people get saved, but also to see that people are made to be disciples as well. Would you like some Kool-Aid, by the way?
Of course.
Of course. And so the very first week we talked about having a biblical foundation for discipleship, right?
What is in this?
It's Kool-Aid. I probably put a little extra sugar in there. Yeah, that was a lot of sugar.
Oh my goodness.
But it's good, right?
It is good.
Yeah. And so the very first week, we talked about the importance of having a biblical foundation for ourselves as a disciple. In other words, we can't just make up ourselves what it is to be a disciple. We have to look to God's word to see what it is to be a disciple.
How do you make it go red?
So you can't go generic on Kool-Aid. I'm just going to be honest with you. Like, it's Kool-Aid and Pop-Tarts are the two things you cannot go generic on. And you just got to use the actual Kool-Aid brand, and that's the good stuff there. It is good though, isn't it?
Oh Lord.
it is good. We even talked about the importance of creating a relational environment, right? So disciples don't just they're not just in the word themselves, but they're also looking for ways in which they can create a relational environment in which they can connect with other people, right? In order that we might be able to have spiritual conversations and be able to talk to people about Jesus and not just introduce them to Jesus, but even show them how to live with Jesus. You keep looking at it like you're startling me. You're worrying me a bit. It is good.
It's fascinating.
I'm taking that home with me. I'm telling you that right now. Actually, I need to make some more. Would you mind to help me make some?
Of course.
Excellent. So, you can just set that there. That's fine. Is it really that strong? Okay, grab me a pitcher over here. Grab me a pitcher. And so what we're going to talk about today is the importance of, so you're going to start with the scoop there. Yeah, set the mic down. We're good. Just grab you a scoop there, and whatever feels right to you. Well, no, I probably want about half a scoop, a little less than that. Yeah, I was a little heavy on that one. There we go. What we're going to talk about today is that as we are seeking to disciple others, it's really important to follow a reproducible process. Otherwise, we might all be doing all kinds of different stuff. So that one's already open. If you want to just go ahead and, yeah, twist that off there. And generally, you want to fill about half of the lid. I might have gone a little extra on the last one. You don't have, yes, actually you do. Yes, you do. That's a good question, though. But it is important to use it because you really don't want too much. It is a little dusty. That's all right. Try not to inhale. A little bit more. Yep. Perfect. Right there. All right. It's important to have a reproducible process because if you don't, then you might do something very different than somebody else. And where that could be problematic is if you might end up actually trying to make disciples in a way that Jesus wasn't trying to make disciples, right? And so what we want to do is we want to make sure that we're at, yeah, just grab, you know, this spoon's good. We already used that one there. Yep. Working pretty good because it does tend to settle at the bottom there. Go both directions as well. There you go. That's awesome. I'm telling you, that's the way you get it to really dissolve best is you go both directions with the spoon. Helps to have a slotted spoon too. Anyway, we want to make sure that if we are going to be a church that's about making disciples, that we're doing it the way that Jesus did it, right? Would you mind to fill up a couple of glasses there for me? We want to make sure that we are doing it the way that Jesus did it. We don't want to make disciples of us. I don't want to make disciples of Pastor Tim. I don't want us to make disciples of Houston First Church of God. I want us to make disciples of Jesus. And so if we're going to make disciples of Jesus, we got to do that in a way, in the same way that Jesus did as well, right? You think you could do that on your own?
I think so.
All right, so here's what I want you to do. Why don't you take that juice over to Naomi, see what she thinks. You can take the other cup with you as well. And so what we want to do is we want to make sure that we are actually training ourselves not only to be disciples that are learning about God's word, but we also want to make sure that we are being disciples that are showing other people how to reflect the same process, right? Did you take a drink yet?
I didn't, because it's red and I'm allergic.
Oh, of course. That's perfect. Did you try it, Naomi?
I did.
Is it good?
Yes.
It's amazing.
It smells really good. It smells really fruity.
It is super fruity. Yeah, you can come over this way. You guys can come over this way. You can set those down, actually. Can you guys help me in thanking Pastor Sarah, Pastor David, and Naomi for helping with this? You guys can be seated. Thank you very much. You can take it with you if you want. No. I'm telling you right now, I'm going to be drinking this as we go. So by the end of this sermon, I am going to be bouncing off the ceiling. It's going to be amazing. It is important for us as disciple makers that we have a reproducible process in the way that we are making disciples. Because if we try to do this our own way, we may find ourselves doing things that are not actually reflected in Scripture and are also not actually reflected by Jesus himself when he made disciples, right? So you notice, even as we were all up here a moment ago, there were a few things that we did. A few things that I did, particularly with Pastor David. The first thing that I did was I shared with him what I had in terms of Kool-Aid, right? The first step of our reproducible process that we're going to kind of be talking through, even over the next 4 weeks, I'm going to kind of give an overview here tonight. But that first step is just simply to share Jesus with others, right? Some of that will be in your testimony. Some of it will be just talking about how different scripture has really impacted your life and those kinds of things. But there's some people that haven't been introduced to God's word and haven't been introduced to a relationship with Jesus. And the first thing we can do is just share with them what God has given us. But then we also, after that, I actually invited Pastor David to come and help me make some of I'm sorry. Before I got to that, you notice he started asking me some questions about it and everything because it was a little strong. He started asking me some questions about it. Like, people, when you begin sharing with people about Jesus, they're going to have some questions. When you begin studying God's word with people, like, they're going to begin having some questions. And so what we need to do is we need to help connect people to God's word. And we need to help connect people to God's church. We need to help connect people to some of the answers that they're looking for and help connect them to the purpose that they have in Jesus Christ. Like, when people start into God's word, they're going to have a lot of questions, and that's good. And some of us will think, and I don't want to get too far into this because we're going to cover this in a couple of weeks, but sometimes we will think to ourselves, oh, well, what if people ask us questions that we don't know the answer to? And what I just want to encourage you with is that is the best place in the world. Well, maybe not the best place, but that's a great place to be. Because then the two of you get to work together to figure out what the answers to some of these questions are. And when you recognize to the person that you're with that, hey, I don't know all the answers either, well, then you both realize, well, hey, if God can work through you even though you don't have all the answers, maybe God can work through me even though I don't have all the answers. And so we can find these answers together. Like, it's important that we help connect people with their questions and all they've got going on the word of God and with God himself, right? And then after Pastor David had his questions for me, I actually invited him to come and make the Kool-Aid too, right? And by the way, I realized, like, particularly for those of you who have any sort of, age to you, I realize there's a, when you use the term drink the Kool-Aid, like, I realize, like, let's not go too far on that, all right? That's all I'm saying. It's just an illustration. Every illustration has its limits. Let's just slow down, okay? Anyway, but I invited him to help make it, right? And you notice, like, as he went, I was kind of told him to start with water. And even as he was starting with the sugar, not as much, a little bit more, whatever there. Even with the amount that he used for, the flavoring and those kinds of things, like, after we share with people and we connect people to God and his word, we also need to make sure that we're giving opportunity for people to minister, right? But we don't just throw them out there by themselves, right? Like, we continue to walk with them as we create these opportunities, as we help them find these opportunities. And so we continue the conversation. We continue the relationship. We continue talking about, how it is that we're going to be doing this. Even as disciples of Jesus Christ, as we're working with people and helping them to grow in their faith, like, one of the best ways that people grow in their faith is by actually serving others. And so we get to help create those opportunities and help them find these opportunities where they can serve others as well. But we don't just throw them out there by themselves, right? Like, we're with them in that. And then finally, you notice, like, I actually encouraged Pastor David to take some of the juice that he made, which, by the way, tasted just as strong as the juice I made, because we were following the same recipe, if you notice that, right? And then I encouraged him to take that to Naomi as I was taking a glass over to Pastor Sarah. Sorry about the allergy, by the way. This last step of this reproducible process is to help people to become disciple makers themselves, right? And so it's great that Pastor David and I know how to make Kool-Aid, and we could just sit here and just fill up all the pitchers and use all the sugar and all the Kool-Aid, and we could just hype ourselves up into a frenzy here, right? But if we never actually share that with anybody else, then what benefit is that for anybody else, right? And let me just tell you, it would be a tremendous benefit for you to be drinking some of this right now, all right? As disciple makers ourselves, sometimes it can be really difficult when we get around people that we love so much, that we build a relationship with, that we have served with, right? That we've grown with, and then we get to a point where it's like, you know what? We just want to be together forever. Like, we just want to be best friends in the gospel forever, right? And we're never gonna leave each other. We're always gonna be together. It's gonna be awesome, right? But the truth of the matter is that the gospel shows us that part of disciple making is sending. Part of disciple making is going, right? And so, as great as it is that we get to be together, our greatest benefit for the kingdom is when we are sent. And so, we have this reproducible process of sharing and connecting and ministering and disciple-making and sending. And so this is a reproducible process that we as a church are going to be talking more about over the next 4 weeks, but that we're going to be endeavoring to pursue ourselves. And in fact, let me just mention that I'm really excited. Pastor Sarah and I have been talking about some discipleship training that we're going to be doing over the summer. And for the last couple of summers, we've done it sort of differently because of pandemic and everything. We met online this last summer, and year before that, we met like in that Sunday school hour there. This year, we're actually going to be offering two different opportunities for you to be able to go through a process of learning how to be a disciple maker, which, by the way, the exact outline of which I am using for this sermon series right now, right? And so we're going to be offering two different times. One is going to be on Sunday evenings. Here at the building, or Sunday afternoon evening. We'll let you know the time and everything there. But then the second one is going to be on Wednesdays online. So if you work and you're not able to get to the building here, we can still do it online. And we're going to be, again, just looking to connect with people to help help all of us learn what it is to be disciple makers. And so I want to encourage you to be thinking about and praying about even now, like is it possible that you might be a part of one of these trainings over this summer in order that you might be able to learn this reproducible process yourself? Now, truth be told, as great as it is to have these four little, you know, nice little words of share, connect, minister, send, all, you know, that's great and all. But again, like we said in the very first week, if it's not based in Scripture, then what's the point, right? Now, we recognize that particularly with Jesus, he was very intentional about how it is that he led his disciples. He was intentional about where he went. He was intentional about sending them some places that he held back on. He was intentional about timing, all of these kinds of things. And we see that there is an intentionality about Jesus as well. Like, for example, he would go and he would share with masses, right? But then he would connect with some in particular, right? There are some, the disciples in particular, where he actually went to them and said, "Follow me." And as they went, they had all kinds of questions that they asked, and sometimes he would actually pose some questions to them, and they were able to process those things together. But as they were going, Jesus didn't just leave them in their little holy small group here, but eventually they got to a point where Jesus actually sent them out into the towns, and he said, "Okay, I'm going to come on behind you here, but first you go do what I've been doing with you, and then I'll come behind you and follow up with you as well." He sent them out to minister, and he came and helped them learn how to do it even as they were doing it, right? But then we also know that in the Great Commission, as he was preparing for death and resurrection, even as he had been resurrected, he said to them, like, "Now your job is to go and to make disciples." He sent them even as he was ascending to the Father. We see this very similar pattern even in Jesus. And we see the same pattern in the disciples as they were getting connected with Paul. If you remember, Paul originally was a Jew who was actually persecuting Christians. And Jesus like interrupts him on the road to Damascus, and he becomes radically changed. And he goes and it says after that he kind of came to himself, after he submitted to this purpose that Jesus interrupted his life for. He actually went among the disciples, and at first the disciples were like, "No, I don't think so, Paul. Like, last time I checked, you was trying to kill us, right?" But Barnabas came along and was like, no, he's cool, it's okay, like we can pour into him." And so he did. Like, Paul stayed there with the disciples, and the disciples were able to walk with him and give him ministry opportunities, and he was preaching in the synagogues and all this kind of stuff, but he wasn't doing it by himself, right? And then eventually, Paul and Barnabas are sent out on their missionary journeys. As great as it would have been to keep them in Jerusalem, They were sent out to all kinds of different cities around Mesopotamia there and everything. And we also see that Paul followed this exact same pattern even as he was discipling people. So let me walk you through some of this here. Let's start in Acts chapter 18. Verses 1 through 3, and I'm going to move through these pretty quick here. We're going to stay in Acts chapter 18, and so if you have your Bibles with you, you're not going to have to do a whole lot of flipping around, but it'll be up on the screen as well. So Acts chapter 18, verses 1 through 3, and I just want to show you as an example here how it is that Paul was following a reproducible process that he gave to others as well. So Acts chapter 18, starting in verse 1, says, "After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had ordered all Jews to leave Rome. Paul went to see them, and because he was a tent maker, as they were, he stayed and worked with them." So first, you see where Paul is just kind of he's sharing his life with them. He's talking about the fact that he was a tent maker before. Like they're just talking about life itself. Like at this point, they really haven't gotten into much of anything spiritually, right? They're together because of their vocational work of tent making. And so Paul is sharing with Aquila and Priscilla as he's going. So we skip down to verse 9. It says, "One night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent. For I am with you, and no one is going to attack and harm you, because I have many people in this city." So Paul stayed in Corinth for a year and a half, teaching them the word of God. Now, here's what I want you to see in this, is that Paul took his time in this place. Now, he didn't always. Sometimes he was only in a place for a couple of days, and then he had to move on. But in this place in particular, he spent some time here, which means he took time with Aquila and Priscilla. He took time to share with them. He took time to connect them to God and to his word. He took time to connect them to this mission that Jesus had given him to reach the Gentiles. Right, and those who were not Jewish before they came to believe in Jesus, like Paul had a year and a half that he was able to pour into Aquila and Priscilla, into all those that were in that town there. Skip down with me now to verse 18. It says, "Paul stayed on in Corinth for some time. Then he left the brothers and sisters and sailed for Syria," watch this now, "accompanied by Priscilla and Aquila. Before he sailed, he had his hair cut off at Caesarea because of a vow he had taken. They arrived in Ephesus, where Paul left Priscilla and Aquila. He himself went into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they asked him to spend more time with them, he declined. But as he left, he promised, 'I will come back if it is God's will.' Then he set sail from Ephesus." All right, so again, I want you to see this here. So we see where Paul's already shared his life with Priscilla and Aquila. We see where they've been able to really connect with God's word and purpose over the amount of time that they were able to be together. And now we see that Paul has given Priscilla and Aquila some opportunities to minister over this time, and now he's sending them by him going himself. So they go to Ephesus. Paul's brought Priscilla and Aquila to an opportunity where they can minister, and then he says, "All right, Priscilla, Aquila, you all are good. Like, God is with you. I'm praying for you. I'm out of here." Like, some of you might be thinking, you know, this whole discipleship thing sounded great until that point right there, right? Like, Pastor, like, I'm all about learning more about God's word, and I want to get closer to the Lord, and I want to even share that with others and everything, but I'd really like it if you were there to hold my hand while I was doing it. I'd really love it if we could just maybe tag team on this thing, and that way if I ever have any questions, I can just ask you and everything. But that part of the discipleship process is the sending. It is the leaving. That's part of the multiplying that happens, and it can only happen in the sending and in the leaving. Watch this now, verse 24. This is what's so great. Starting in verse 24. It says, "Meanwhile, A Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus, and he was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the scriptures. All right, so he already has that first part of someone has already shared with him about the scriptures, right? He already has a lot of those questions that have been answered. He's connected with God and his word. All right, he has a thorough knowledge of the scriptures. Verse 25, he had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately. So he already has that third part of ministering already as well. Though he knew only the baptism of John, verse 26, he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. And when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. All right, so watch this now. This is what's so great. So Paul is in Corinth, gets connected with Priscilla and Aquila, spends a year and a half with them, is able to pour into them and sort of reproduce himself, and then he's able to kind of teach them how to make Kool-Aid, if you will, right? Then they all go to Ephesus, and Paul leaves. Priscilla and Aquila are still there. So Paul's gone, and Apollos shows up, and Apollos seems like everything is going the right way, and Aquila and Priscilla are there to say, you know what? Like, yeah, you have this understanding of Scripture, but there's more. There's a fullness to the gospel here. There's a fullness to what you can be doing. There's a fullness to the mission that while you have part of it, there's still some more that you can be. It's almost as if Apollos is already making Kool-Aid, and Priscilla and Aquila are like, ooh, slow down on that sugar. You need a little extra flavoring there. You should probably add a little more water. It's not that what he's doing isn't similar to what Paul had done and Jesus had done and Priscilla and Aquila had done, but it wasn't the same process reproduced. And so Priscilla and Aquila began to just meet with him and to help him to see more adequately the way of following Jesus. And then in verse 27, it says, when Apollos wanted to go to Achaia, the brothers and sisters encouraged him and wrote to the disciples there to welcome him. And when he arrived, he was a great help to those who by grace had believed. Do you see how the process was reproduced once again? That process was followed once again. So it started with Paul, and actually it started with Jesus, and it went to his disciples, and his disciples went on in discipling Paul, and Paul went on to Priscilla and Aquila, and Priscilla and Aquila went on to Apollos, and Apollos went on to and it just kept going and going and going, and do you know that eventually it got to Houston? And eventually it got to the northwest side. And eventually somebody got to you, and somebody shared the gospel with you, and somebody answered your questions, and somebody gave you an opportunity to minister, and now someone is sending you. See, this is the same process that has been going on all the way from Jesus. And so if we want to be disciples, to make disciples that are following the great commission of Jesus Christ, we've got to be intentional about following this same process. It can be easy for us to say, well, you know, Pastor, I got my own Kool-Aid recipe, right? I don't really like that flavor of Kool-Aid, so I'm going to make my own flavor, if it's all right with you. Or, you know what, like, it's great that you like so much sugar in your Kool-Aid, but me, I'm just going to go without sugar, if that's okay with you. Maybe you're diabetic, who knows, I don't know. I probably will be after I get done with this class. But when you start changing what's going into the pitcher, you change what comes out of the pitcher. And when we start changing the process according to what we like, ooh, help me, Lord. When we start changing the process according to what we like and according to what we are most comfortable with, well, then what comes out is different as well. See, when we don't follow the process of making disciples in the way that Jesus did, then we're not actually making disciples that Jesus did. And then we look around and we ask ourselves, well, how come the church appears to have no power? How come it seems like the culture is just steamrolling us right now? Like how come it feels like I'm just sort of beaten up right now? How come it feels like everybody else is walking in opposition? How come it feels like we're losing ground in our schools? How come it feels like we're losing ground in our marriages? How come it feels like we're losing ground with our kids? And we look back and we wonder, man, how do we get here? And I'm just kind of wondering out loud here. I wonder if it's not because we started putting our own recipe to the Kool-Aid, and what we thought we were making was better for us, but it wasn't necessarily better in terms of accomplishing the goal of the Great Commission of making disciples, right? Now, what's interesting in all of this, and I'm going to invite the worship team to come on back up now. What's interesting in all of this is that I have had to do my own wrestling with this, because I grew up in such a way that while I thought I was growing as a disciple for much of my life, I realized in the last couple of years that while I've been growing in my faith, I wouldn't say that I've actually been living as a disciple. I don't know that I have not been following this reproducible process. I've not been doing things the same way that Jesus did them. And so I've had to kind of come to a point in myself where I got to realize, like, am I going to do what I'm comfortable doing? Like, for example, I could get up and if you really wanted, we could be here 7 days a week, and I could preach a sermon to you that would motivate you and encourage you and all this kind of, like, I could do that if you want. Like, I could do that in my sleep. Like, and when I say that, I want to be clear in that I recognize that God has brought a gift in me in that particular way. And so I know how to help this word become real for you, and I can stand here and I can do this every day of the week if you really wanted me to. But the truth of the matter is that's not the process that Jesus used to make disciples. And so even though that might be what I like best, because that's my natural lane to drive in there, what I have to recognize is that the only lane I can be in is the process that Jesus gave me. So that means I've had to completely restructure how I do ministry. My schedule's not the same. The people I talk to are not the same. The places I go are not the same. The things I eat are not the same. What we have to ask ourselves is, what are we open to? Like, do we just want this process to be about what is best for us? Or do we want this process to be about what Jesus wanted it to be? Are we willing to submit our process to his process? Are we willing to by faith believe that if Jesus could make a disciple out of us, he could also use us to help make disciples? That is a faith step. And I just want to invite you to make that faith step today. I want to invite you to stand with me now, if you would. We're going to sing a couple of songs. And as we do, I want to encourage you just to think about where's the stopping point for you? Where is the rub here? Where is it that you think to yourself, no, I can't do that. Like, I don't know if I wouldn't know what to say or wouldn't know what to do. Like, wherever it is that you're feeling that temptation to stop, I just want to encourage you to, even as we're singing, just submit that to God, that he might be able to lead you into being a disciple maker yourself. Maybe the first step you've got to start with is, I need to really trust Jesus with my life. Maybe you've never sought the forgiveness of your sins. Maybe you've never sought to actually follow God and follow his word. You can do that today. I'd love to talk with you about that and how to do it, but it just simply starts with prayer. Lord, I know you are real. And Jesus, I know you're my Savior. I want to follow you. Whether this is your first time to pray that prayer, or whether there's another area that's holding you back, submit yourself to him even now for his glory.